It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Nashville Hotel. Just a reminder, on Friday we'll be at the Southern Steak and Oyster. That is this Friday. Typically it's the third Friday, but I was told yesterday it will not be the third Friday. It'll be this Friday. Just to make sure you understand. And I understand. That'll be this week. Southern Steak and Oyster. Love that place too. Griff is with us. Mike Griffith with us. And we'll talk Vols and college football, SEC, Big Ten, whatever comes up. Griff, how you been, bud?
I'm good, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're a little muffly. Are you skydiving again? I thought you said you weren't doing that again.
No, I'm done with that.
You sound like you're in the sky at 30,000 feet, though. Are you talking into a tin cup, or what are you doing?
I'm talking into the phone, Bill.
Well, it sounds muffly, Griff. Okay, give us your plans for tomorrow on signing day. What are you going to be doing?
I'll be driving back from Kentucky in the morning. Big basketball game tonight for the Vols. And then Jeremy Pruitt has a press conference at 4 o'clock. And then there'll be an event at the Tennessee Theater downtown. Tennessee recruiting tomorrow night I'll be covering.
Yeah, Kentucky's not even going to the NIT. You don't need to cover that game. Vols are going to win by 20.
Wow. They're 13-1 at home this year. You may be right. Tennessee's beaten everybody lately by 23 and 33 Saturday, but... Well, I don't know. That's a tough place to play, Rupp Arena. Tennessee hasn't won up there since 2006, and Bruce Pearl was the coach, and Chris Lofton put 31 on.
I was going to say since Don DeVoe, Gary Carter, and that group, early 80s.
Since 1999 that Tennessee has swept Kentucky. So it's been a long time coming. I mean, that's a proud program, and obviously they haven't played – they're best of late. I mean, they've lost three of their last six, and they're coming off a loss at Missouri. But it wasn't so long ago they went to West Virginia and came from 14 down and beat Bob Huggins on the road. So you wonder how much of it's the SEC.
I was at a high school basketball game the other night, and one of the former students at that high school was there, and he's now a sophomore at Tennessee. And he was there actually with his girlfriend, and both of them work in the football office, in the recruiting office, in the football office, and they work there under Butch, and they're still there under Jeremy. And they said, and it wasn't a knock on Butch, but he said, man, it is absolutely dead serious in that place. He said, Jeremy's not a joke around guy, which I think we knew, and everything is just so absolutely serious and devoted to one common theme. And he just kept saying that over and over. It was a compliment, but I guess you're up there, Griff. You see it closer than I do. Seems to be this guy is dead set on getting this right.
Well, he is. You know, and I'm sure Butch Jones was too.
Right.
I think the personality is different. You know, I think that, you know, Jeremy's coming out of the Nick Saban school of coaching pretty much. And
right.
He's been in your places. You know, he coached under Mark Richt and, you know, coached under Jimbo Fisher, and he played for Gene Stallings when I was covering Alabama. What they told you is consistent with what I saw when I covered Jeremy down there at the Sugar Bowl and spent some time with him and at the national championship game. And in my dealings with him, my talks with him, I mean, he's very direct. He doesn't waste any words. And he's laser-focused. I mean, I think absolutely. You know, I just think that, you know, Jamie has a different sort of disposition. You know, I think that, you know, he realizes it's about wins and losses. And it's not about necessarily telling people what they want to hear. But, you know, he takes over at a different time, too. You know, to be fair, when Butch took over, Tennessee needed some cheerleading. I mean, it was in deep trouble. It was on probation from Lane Kiffin. You know, the Derek Dooley years were awful. It hadn't been to a bowl in years. And, you know, the morale was down. And I think that, you know, what Butch was selling, people were ready to buy. And, you know, I thought that, you know, his style of coaching and his attitude was right for that time. But after 5 years, I mean, people want results. And, you know, Butch didn't win the East. It was time to go. And, you know, you look around the country, and if a coach hasn't won his division, he's probably going to be fired after 5 years. You know, and Kentucky may be a little different because their football is not their priority. But at Tennessee, I can tell you this, if you haven't won the division in 5 years, you're going to be fired. Doesn't matter what your personality is. And, you know, Jeremy realizes he's hired to win the division. And, you know, he doesn't inherit an ideal situation with, you know, these juniors go pro. Anytime there's a coaching change, there's going to be attrition. And sure enough, Quentin Dormady left the program. And the guy that was probably the best suited to run the pro-style offense left. I don't know the particulars of why, but obviously, you know, him and the new coaching staff weren't eye-to-eye. You know, John Kelly left. Rashawn Golden left. Khalil McKenzie left. You know, you're losing, you know, your best offensive player, your best defensive player. Juwan Jennings' reinstatement's still in the air. He's got to fulfill some things to, you know, get his way back on the team that Pruitt's put in front of him. So there's a good reason to be serious. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a daunting schedule. There's high expectations. And your boss is the first ballot Hall of Famer that won a national championship. So, you know, it all adds up to Jeremy Pruitt being a serious guy and wanting to get things done and not having much time to waste.
How about Alvin Kamara, Rookie of the Year, and Derek Barnett, defensive end, Eagles Super Bowl ring from just a couple of years ago? They don't miss those guys, do they?
Well, yeah, it would have been nice if they'd have stuck around for their senior years for sure, but
yeah.
You know, Alvin's had a great season, and you know, game-changing player down there in New Orleans and doing some great things. And it was too bad that he got injured his final year at Tennessee. Remember, he played that last month and a half with a knee brace and, you know, missed the South Carolina game. I think if Tennessee would have had him, I mean, who knows, if Alvin plays in the South Carolina game, they probably win that game. And maybe if Alvin, you know, gets that first down against Vandy, they win that game too. But he missed the first down marker. And, you know, he finished, he did as good as he could for Tennessee and had that record where he had over 300 yards. I was there at Texas A&M. I mean, it was Alvin left and Alvin right and throwing with the ball and running kicks back and over 300 total purpose yards. And like I said, you know, if he didn't get that knee injury, there's no telling how many more yards he would have gotten or how much more effective he would have been in November. And, you know, maybe Tennessee might have gone to the Sugar Bowl that year. And Derek Barnett, I mean, he's just a legend. I mean, he's a guy from Nashville that stayed home, played for the Vols in a time of need, and really repped the program, set the sacks record, a guy that'll be celebrated, that, you know, loves Tennessee and talks good about Tennessee. And even some talk, you know, maybe Derek Barnett ought to be a guy on the Jumbotron someday. So it's been really exciting for Tennessee fans to see Derek make those plays in the Super Bowl and in the NFC Championship game, make the game-changing play. How many times did he do that for the Vols?
I wanted to bring something up. We played a little earlier an audio clip from 09 when Kiffin was at Tennessee, and it was February of 09. It was right after signing day.
Alshon Jeffery time.
I wasn't even thinking of that, but yeah, the pumping gas. Well, but this was the one where he's speaking to a group, talking about Newkeese Richardson, who was on a recent visit to Tennessee back then, and how Urban Meyer called him, and he said, "I'm turning him in for a violation right here on stage because you're not allowed to do that." And of course, Newkeese got there and got arrested his first year and got run out of town, and anyways, been in trouble ever since. But you remember that? You remember that moment when he was up there talking? Were you at that event?
I wasn't at that event, but I remember the fallout because it wasn't a violation that he accused Florida of a violation that wasn't a violation.
Right.
I mean, Lane was just he was reckless at Tennessee, and you know, he's got a really good agent, and there's been a really good spin put on him and a lot of good PR, and if you've got a good agent that can get reporters to do stories on you, he's entertaining and he's fun and he says exciting things, and I get that. But when he was at Tennessee, it wasn't good. And what he did at Tennessee lingered for 5 years. He got the program under a three-year investigation and probation that went through 2014. It was an embarrassing amount of violations, and I can tell you this, as long as Philip Fulmer's the AD, you're not going to see Lane Kiffin on campus or up for any kind of hiring or any sort of thing like that, because what he did in one season just absolutely set the program back. Now, that's not to say he didn't do a good job at Alabama or that he's not doing a good job where he's at now. But at Tennessee, it was a disaster.
What's Tennessee going to do? I'm doubling back now on that quarterback topic, whether it's graduate transfers or what have you at quarterback.
You know, I've got to think that there's a graduate transfer. It's not talked a lot about. I mean,
right.
You don't hear much talk about it. I mean, there's been some speculation on that. But, you know, you haven't seen anything hardcore on that. You haven't seen anybody, you know, really jumping out as a guy that everybody thinks is coming necessarily. But you've only got two scholarship quarterbacks coming back, Jared Garantano and Will McBride. And, you know, Jared is, you know, has the prolific size. He's got a very strong arm. You know, decent mobility, but I'm not sure that he can fit in a pro-style system. I'm not sure about how quickly he can get through his progressions. Now, to be fair, you know, I'm not sure what he really had to throw to. I mean, once Juwan Jennings was gone, I mean, that really hurt Tennessee. Their receiving core got very young and didn't fare real well against elite press coverage. So, but it looked like Jared had trouble releasing the ball and anticipate breaks. Now, maybe that's changing the offseason. Now, this will be his third year as a quarterback at Tennessee. He's a redshirt freshman last season. And Will McBride got rid of the ball a lot quicker, but didn't have the same sort of size that Jared did. Now, there's plenty of examples of quarterbacks that aren't 6'3", 6'4", that have done great things. I mean, Drew Brees comes to mind. But, you know, I'm certainly not ready to compare Will McBride to him. Just saying, you know, there are some limitations to McBride as well, although I thought he was a very game player, and I liked his release, and I liked his attitude. But I don't think either one of those two guys are going to beat Auburn or Alabama or Georgia or Florida, frankly. And, you know, and I don't know that there's a graduate transfer necessarily that's the magic answer, but if you're going to run a pro-style offense, I think you need to get a quarterback that fits it. And that will be definitely the position to keep an eye on for Tennessee. And the question is the answer on signing day. Is there going to be a graduate transfer or, you know, I guess before April? And signing day is the first day you can sign. But I think you can go up to, what, April 1st, Bill. So that's kind of what I'll be keeping my eye on for sure.
Griff, safe travels, man. Look forward to your coverage tomorrow, my friend.
Appreciate it, Bill. Have a good one.
There you go. There's Griff. See, I thought by bringing up Kiff there, I really didn't even care, but I wanted to bring Kiff into this because I knew that he would be critical, and I knew that that would smoke probably the Cosby Cattlemen out of the mountains up on East Tennessee. We'll see if he was monitoring that or if he's deep into the dickle right now and he wasn't really listening. I don't know. We'll see if we smoked him out there. I'm thinking we might have. Couple things here. And Grant is right. He says, guess Griff is no longer on Butch's friends and family plan. His new burner phone sounds terrible. Sound like a, was that a Hugh Freeze burner phone? Bama Dave, who's been on like a hiatus or something from the show, says UT is going to keep Griff on hand to be the excuse maker in chief till they can buy a quarterback. Nothing about ball washing anybody from Bama Dave in a while. I don't know if he's joined the monastery somewhere or I don't know what happened there, but he's back. I see it. Also, down there in Starkville, our good friend, Mississippi State friend, was back as well. How about that? Down on the border, down in Natchez, Trey in Natchez, Mississippi. He said he's had a rough go of it with his personal life. Now, he tweeted it publicly, so divorce, things of that nature. So Trey is just now getting freed up where he can hear the show again. Appreciate you, Trey, and again, hope all that stuff, however it suits you. I hope it works out, and everybody can go on their merry way, my friend. Griff's funny. Yeah, we'll see if we smoked out the Cosby Cattlemen right there. Life insurance with Jason.com. That's a sight that you need to link. And you can always remember it because he's made it simple for me and you. Lifeinsurancewithjason.com. And that's what it is. It's a site that gives you information. It's a site that gives you contact information where you can get to him and talk about your needs. Pre-existing, you think you can't get cleared, call him. He's cleared lots of people with significant pre-existing conditions. Think it's too expensive? Call him. It's not. It's way more affordable than you think. Absolutely. Let's say you're healthy and life could not be better. Everything is going so well. The economy is good. Your job, you and your wife, you've got kids, you're going on vacations. Everybody is living the dream. And that's great. You still need to take care of that. Give him a call. Many people in that situation where everything is just going so well, they avoid it. I don't need it now. It's a pain. I don't want to deal with it now. Mistake. You are not the exception. You will need that at some point. You will need the peace of mind of that protection. So give that site a look and contact Jason. Maybe you've got a policy and it's only, let's say, got 5 years remaining on it or 2.5. Don't wait until the end. Now's the time to start looking at that. Be out in front of it. He may tell you, stick with where you're at. You're good. There may be a way to get you into a fresh new deal to give you time and longer-term peace of mind. All of that is doable, and I'm telling you right now, you will not meet in any walk of life a more honest, caring, genuine guy than Jason Herring. Lifeinsurancewithjason.com. That's the website. All the information is right there. Coming back, Bill King, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. As we keep watch on traffic, they're just about to wrap up that wreck at Buena Vista Pike at Clarksville Pike. There's only certain parts of town out here where it's running slow, like 40 westbound here at Fessler's and also on 65 south at Trinity Lane. Still looks good up through Williamson County. We've checked it there on 65 up by Concord Road. ICU Security, they specialize in surveillance camera installation and service. Check them out. ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When was the last time you did something fun with family and friends, even coworkers? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers entertainment for all ages? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, is just the place. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Visit them online at strikeandsparebowling.com. Also on Facebook and Twitter, or see them in Hendersonville, Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Compton Trucking Incorporated in Lebanon reminds listeners that our troops overseas are risking the ultimate price for our freedom. One way to show your gratitude is by sending a package from home. Just call your local veterans organization or type military care package into any search engine. This message is from Compton Trucking Incorporated in Lebanon. For more information, call 615-202-0957. They're proud to support the men and women of the United States Armed Forces.
Smashville is your home for the NHL Western Conference champion Nashville Predators. And WNSR is your home for the best coverage. Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio. Every game day morning starting at 5 a.m., Crazy Charlie Saunier and his crew take you around the league with updates, interviews, and more. For the best coverage of the Nashville Predators, make sure you're locked in every game day morning starting at 5. For Redneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Nashville weather.
Here is a look at your Skywatch weather forecast for today. Mostly cloudy, high in the upper 40s. Tonight, showers expected, low in the lower 40s. Tomorrow, starting off with some showers, high tomorrow in the mid 40s. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy and cold, low in the mid 20s. And it looks like sunny skies to return back in the forecast on Thursday and Friday, with showers returning on Saturday and Saturday night. I'm Commander Chuck, your Skywatch weather.
Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Omni, and just around the corner at the Southern Steak and Oyster, that's where we will be on Friday. The reason why I brought up Kiffin to Griff was to smoke the Cosby Cattleman out of the Smoky Mountains so he'd call this show. I knew exactly where I was putting the hook. I knew I had some juicy bait on it. Cosby, you've got these airwaves.
Bonjour, Monsieur King.
Bonjour. Did you like that little trick I pulled on you?
Huh? Y'all covered a lot of ground there, Bill. I'm up here in Jellicoe on the state line on I-75. You know where Jellicoe is?
I went fishing there on my way home my freshman year of 1980. Me and a buddy. No, seriously, we went there and went fishing and then had a couple of beers and went home.
Well, I'm up here in Jellicoe right now on the interstate getting ready to look for Griff's rental car to come by so I can moon him.
Jeremy, he's driving Jeremy around right now. He's busy.
Hey, Bill, first off, it's George Dickel versus Jim Beam tonight. We're not going to break the rule, but it's George Dickel versus Jim Beam.
No, why? Why is there a battle of those two? What's up?
Turn on the mothership. I'm not talking about Crazy Charlie.
At
7 o'clock tonight.
That's right. My old Kentucky home versus Dickel. Yep.
Yeah, we don't want to break any rules. We'll be vague, but turn on the mothership about 6 o'clock central tonight.
Now before we get to Kiffin, you like Rick Barnes though, right?
He can't recruit a lick. He's semi-retired. He's just cashing a check. But I mean, he can coach. it's the Osborne brothers versus the Judds, Bill. The Osborne brothers versus the Judds.
Now you know the one Judd who's a communist. She went to the school right here. Huh?
Yeah, I can't stand her.
She went to Franklin right here, man.
Yeah, well, don't even raise my blood pressure 50 points. All right, let's move along here. Y'all covered a lot of ground there with Griff. Yeah. First off, the brain dead hire was Kiffin, but I've been watching Pruitt a little bit. I don't know if he can coach a lick. Interesting thing John Adams put out, and you know this, Dabo and Kirby, Dabo and Jimbo, let's use those two, didn't have previous head coaching experience, and they won a national championship.
Right.
And Kirby was hot last year. So, but everything you hear, we talk about this a lot, the transition from assistant coach, coordinator to head coach, some coaches can make it and some can't. But if Pruitt recruits at an elite level and his staff looks to be a pretty good recruiting staff, I feel pretty good about it. And the reason being is Fulmer was never regarded as an X's and O's genius, but he recruited at an elite level and stacked up enough players. So, you know, Spurrier showed up and pulled his jogging suit down most every year. But Fulmer stumbled into a national championship because he just stacked talent on top of talent. And that's a formula that's proven to work most places.
Fulmer proved in that one case. Now you need some luck. And you got to remember the league wasn't as deep as it has been some of these other years. But it's just them in Florida, basically. Alabama was all messed up back then. But you're right. He overwhelmed the roster with talent and was able to finagle a championship out of it. Give him credit. I mean, I don't think he's the best. I don't think he's a good X's and O's guy at all, actually. But he did it somehow.
Yeah, Chavis and Cutcliffe propped him up. We saw what his record was without Cutcliffe.
Yeah.
But, Griff conveniently left out that Fulmer also ruined the program. That first ballot Hall of Famer stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds good, but Griff conveniently left out the fact that Fulmer wrecked the program and it still hasn't recovered. Another thing he mentioned, talking about how Kiffin didn't do a good job in Knoxville, Bill, we won't go down that rabbit hole too much today. Griff was right. Kiffin didn't do a good job in Knoxville. He did a great job in Knoxville, but Griff's too big of a moron when it comes to Kiffin to ever figure it out.
Thought you liked Griff.
And I know, yeah, that's not a personal attack. He's an idiot. He's a complete fool when it comes to discussing Lane Kiffin. He's got a blind spot, you know, as big as Williamson County, big as Wilco. But, you know, Bill, looking at it here, you know, another thing that was completely poor analysis out of Griff today, he was talking about how Griff, I mean, Butch supposedly he had to come in and clean up from Dooley, which is true. And then I guess he was trying to say that Butch left it in a better place. Did Griff miss the 2017 football season where Butch went winless through the SEC? Did he
Worst record in school history.
Yeah, Tennessee's never lost 8 games in a season before, courtesy of Sergeant Carter over here. And Griff's won't try to sell you that Butch left it in a better place. I don't see any better at all. You see any better at all? He doesn't have a quarterback. Where are the defensive tackles? I mean, there are holes all over the roster. You tell me where it's so great. Who's going to be on the All-SEC first team next year?
I said
for Tennessee.
We were talking a little bit about this in the first hour, and there is an issue at every position group on that roster.
I believe, well, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think they didn't have a single player on the first or second team All-SEC roster last year preseason. I believe that's correct. Tennessee did not have a single player on the first or second team last year, and Griff wants to tell you that Butch somehow left in a better spot. I don't get it. And one last thing, Bill, I know you've got a national audience here. I think your quarterback's going to be McBride or probably they might go straight to that California kid. You're building a program, and if you don't have – you got 3 years these days – you know, to show some progress, they might go straight to that California kid.
The grad transfer from Stanford.
No, I'm talking about the freshman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's Tyson Helton right there, isn't it? California connection.
Yeah, now, I was saying earlier, probably what they're doing right now is it's hoping to survive, and I'm telling the 19 class that you got the job. Probably. I'm telling quarterbacks, the 5-star quarterbacks in the 19 class that fit his style, whatever that is, probably more like Saban's style than Butch's style. But I'm telling them, you can have the ball first day.
Well, the team loves McBride, and they can't stand Garantano. Garantano's one of these millennial me-firsters. nobody in Knox County likes Garantano. But Ben, I'll tell you what, here, I've got a big jug with a handle on it, a Dickel 12, and one airplane bottle of Jim Beam, so you can see who I'm rooting for tonight. See
ya. That's the Tennessee versus Kentucky. So it's whiskey on whiskey. You get it? You folks understand the inference there? Hope so. Cosby Cattleman. There was a time in the 90s, and I mean, he was calling the show a little bit back then. He went by the name Small Mike then, and it changed to the Cosby Cattleman about 10 years ago. But, and he went by the name Small Mike because it was a guy in the media named Mike, not Griff, and he didn't like him, so he just named himself Small Mike. Anyways, long story short, there was a time in the 90s where Cosby lived here in Wilco. Now, I never saw him, didn't really know when he was here. I get, when he was calling the show, I don't know if he was calling then when he was living here in Wilco. I don't even know what he was doing. I think he just moved here. I don't think Cosby works. I don't think he's ever had to work. I don't know what he does and everything else. I've never asked him, but I think he's just a guy that lives life. He actually, I'll tell you another one, not only did he live here, and he's from up there, so that's where he is now again, but he actually moved down to West Palm Beach and lived down there for a while. Just on the surf, man. Had him a place and would go hit the beach and hit the bars and reset every day. That life. Finally, I guess, got tired of looking at the ocean every day and moved back up there to the East Tennessee Cosby area. Cosby, Tennessee, the Cosby Cattleman. I knew by bringing up Kiff I could smoke him out. I knew it. Bama Dave. Bill, Griff's phone sounded bad because the background noise was him tuning up Jeremy Pruitt's lawnmowers. Bama Dave, damn, Bill, I think I hear Kiffin's lawnmower in the background of Cosby's phone. Bama Dave, too much time, Bill, devoted to a perennial third-place team in the SEC East. They're not even third place right now. Crazy Charlie, oh, God. He brings up a, oh, my gosh. How about that? It's one of the post-show reports here. Charlie, are you by the mic here?
Yeah, I'm right here.
What date is this on? The one where it's
let's see.
Brady Hoke and Pat Fitzgerald.
I've got seven pages printed out in front of me.
Oh,
this
God.
Was National Signing Day 2014. So
okay.
February the 5th of 2014. Bill, you were the host that day. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And I was the producer that day.
That's one of those marathon days where we would do the morning and then we'd come back and do 3 hours, like noon to three.
Yeah, as
right?
a matter of fact, this is the noon to three. I didn't bother posting the early slot because, of course, we didn't have guests and all that. It was just a summary of calls and tweets and things. But, yeah, Kyle Flood, Brady Hoke, Pat Fitzgerald, Bo Pelini in the first hour, Al Golden, Tim DeRuiter, Steve Spurrier, who else? That's it for the second hour. Hugh Freeze, Rod Carey, Tommy Tuberville, Gary Anderson, and Dana Holgerson in the third hour.
Wait a minute, Hugh Freeze?
Yes. At 2:02 on National Signing Day 2014, you spoke to Hugh Freeze. He said he was pleased with his staff and the relationships that were built in recruiting, and that's why there was not many surprises. Bill, apparently you asked about Liggins and whether or not he'd play QB, and Freeze was not sure because he could do so much with his athleticism. Freeze also said they felt they got their needs secured in this class with the depth in certain positions. He felt this class was a complete class.
I swear to you, I do not remember that interview at all. I remember all those players.
Bill, how could you remember that? We did 13 interviews in less than 3 hours.
I know. Every one of those shows, we literally would do just...
I mean, here, let me just give you the times in the second hour. So Hugh Freeze was 2:02 in the afternoon. This is all central times. Rod Carey was 2:15. Tommy Tuberville was 2:20. Gary Anderson was 2:30. Dana Holgerson was 2:45. So that's five coaches, including breaks, in less than an hour.
Was that when Gary Anderson still had the fantasy that he could coach at Wisconsin using his style of play?
Oh, let's see. Gary said that the hay was in the barn and they were done for the day and moving forward. Said they placed some focus on wide receiver position in addition to the secondary with players that could run and fly to the ball. They rounded out the class, filling out other positions of need. Gary said they got two players in the early right now that they would compete this spring for time. Bill, you talked about replacing Borland, and Gary said if you knew how to package up that player, he'd like to get it. Gary talked about Melvin Gordon, how he'd replace Abritas at wide receiver. Gary said he didn't expect about five or six freshmen to compete for playing time and be in the 1-2 deep on the depth chart. Spring ball starts soon for the Badgers. They'd finish up just after spring break. Bill, you asked what the plans were for the rest of the day, and it was a big booster event and a hangout with the wife and kids.
Before moving back out west again and then getting fired out there.
Correct.
At Oregon State.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can pick up from reading old interview transcripts.
Yeah, not only is he not at Wisconsin, but he already messed up the Oregon State job. Remember this last year, he actually resigned. He quit. That's what happened to Gary, right?
Yeah, well, Bill, Brady Hoke told you that Peppers, he would start at cornerback and to get his feet on the ground and get going. You told him you'd like to see Peppers carry the ball, too. That was good luck by you, Bill.
I begged him, yep.
Yeah, Hoke said that may happen. Hoke talked some offensive recruits with a focus on wide receiver. Bill, you turned the conversation to defense, talked about Marshall and the big kid from Utah on the interior line of the defense, and then you turned back to offense, asked about how the new OC Nussmeier. Hoke said they want to be consistent, be able to run the ball with consistency, and then you asked about Green and his lack of production. Bill, you were going after Brady Hoke in this one.
Boy.
Lot of talking by you in this one, not a lot by the coach.
He was nussed, and oh, my God. Did I bring up – did anywhere in your notes does it say I brought up, coach, in your relatively near future – you will be the interim coach at Tennessee. Did I bring that up?
No. There's no SEC references at all in here.
I should have told him and warned him he'd be on Rocky Top.
Should have warned him.
Yep. You'll be 50 miles from the Cosby Cattlemen at some point,
really,
living.
These are fascinating to read. Steve Spurrier. Coach talked about everybody being a winner on signing day and spring ball until they lose a game when the season starts. That's pretty much the end of that interview.
Well, and then he was quitting there shortly thereafter. He quit too, like Gary Anderson.
I've got 7 pages just from National Signing Day 2014 in front of me. Here's Tommy Tuberville. I mean, you know, they're all in here. It's a pretty amazing look. I've got thousands of these reports.
You printed that out.
Yeah, I wasted ink here at the station for that. It was worth it just to see
put
one
your
of them.
I think it's a dime. Put your 70 cents on the manager's table. It's a dime a sheet, right?
Well, they can bill me. I ain't got that kind of walking around money. But yeah, this was 2014, 2/5/14, our signing day special, 3 hours. We did 13 coach interviews in less than 3 hours of time, even took calls, got in all our breaks. Oh, man, Ideally sponsored that day. That was nice of them to do.
Here's the other item, Charlie. Even though we were not cognizant of that, we would be making that our last year, too. That was
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That was the last one.
We would also be exiting.
Yeah.
Billy, there's even a summary at the end of 7 pages. This is segment 4. It was a long list today. 13 coaches, 3 hours of broadcast time. Nice note for me in here. I did a nice job lining up the list and making sure they all made it on the air. Special thanks, Mid-American Energy Holdings Company, Idealese, for their support. Losh Pa. Yes.
I don't remember that either.
It even has Losh Pa on the post-show report.
I literally don't. Wow. I remember doing those shows because we would do the normal morning 3 hours, and then we would come back. I would just go in that green room is what we called it up there, overlooking the city, and go to sleep, literally. And then we're coming back, we do it again.
And I'd just go to the bar across the street and drink as much as I could in the three-hour break and then come back and produce 13 coaches in less than 3 hours. I remember how busy it was. I don't remember any of the content. I don't remember any of the actual things that happened that day as far as players. But I can remember just how busy it was and having to bump coaches around as they were, you know, they'd answer the phone and say, I'm busy. I'm in the middle of something. The faxes aren't in. And you'd have to juggle them and move them around. And I'm amazed that we were able to pull off that many guests in that short period of time. But interesting to look back on. Yeah, you know, Bo Pelini on that day, of course.
Wow.
That's back when Bo would talk to us.
That's when Bo was supposed to call me a couple months ago. He asked Brian for my number. I thought he had it, and he never called me. I don't know what he wanted.
Youngstown.
I thought I was about to get him.
He wanted to ask you to do him a favor for Youngstown Justice.
There was, well, he needed something, obviously. But
he's looking for something there.
Yeah. No, he was definitely needed something, but maybe he got it fixed before he needed to call me. I don't know.
But, Jeff, if anybody wants to take a look, I tweeted out the picture of the main 3 sheets with all the guests we had from signing day, just to show you what we were talking about earlier as an example. But, yeah, I pretty much burned up the printer and the ink cartridge here just to do that. So, enjoy.
Man. There you go.
Didn't work.
Those shows went fast, though. I mean, because you're so busy, you don't even know what you're doing. I mean, 3 hours went in 10 seconds of those shows.
Yes, it did.
Anyways, all right. I do know we need to get a break, so let's do it. Got a couple more we got to catch up to. Bill King, Crazy Charlie, we are brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. The police have moved this wreck here on 65 southbound at Metro Center. Also clearing a wreck at Buena Vista Pike at Clarksville Pike at Bordeaux. Still some traffic here trying to get in late here on 40 westbound at Spence Lane coming in from Hermitage and Donaldson. ICU Security, they specialize in surveillance camera installation and service. Check it out, ICUSecurityInc.com. They've got a neat website. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The year is 2018, and in the state of Tennessee, citizens have found a new instant game that delivers incredible amounts of fun.
Wow, loaded with $100 prizes!
Exclusive, exciting, here for a limited time only, and starring your best odds ever to win $100 or more.
This game is awesome!
This February, get ready for one of the biggest blockbusters ever with the limited edition instant game. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just remember to play responsibly.
honey, I wanted to make this Valentine's Day memorable.
Aww.
Lobster, smooth jazz, jumbo bucks, and chocolate-covered strawberries.
Wait, what?
Strawberries?
No, before that.
My smooth jazz playlist is called Let's Get Sexual.
No, after that.
Oh, jumbo bucks instant games from the Tennessee Lottery?
Yeah.
Well, you can't win 75 grand from jewelry.
I could win 75 grand?
If you're lucky.
Oh, baby.
Make this Valentine's Day one to remember with Valentine's Day jumbo bucks only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
When it comes to professional banking in Nashville, there's a new benchmark, Landmark Bank. Landmark Bank is now open on Music Row and is professionally managed by local financial experts John Morrissey and Robin Henderson. When you're ready to see banking differently, call John or Robin at 651-7280. That's 651-7280. Or learn more online at landmarkbanktn.com. Music Row's new landmark, Landmark Bank. Professional and personal banking for sports, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. See banking differently.
Hey, what you reading?
The Ledger. There's a great Titans column by David Clymer.
So it's a sports publication?
Not just sports. Here's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. There's information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene, profiles of community leaders, and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports.
Including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Is it expensive?
It's free. It's available at hundreds of locations and at tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
That interview list from 14 Charlie pulled up. Let's see what we've got. I just want to see how many coaches are intact. Brady Hoke, Kyle Flood, Coach Fitz, yes. Bo Pelini, no. So of the four so far, three no longer. Al Golden, Miami, no. Tim DeRuiter, Fresno State, no. Spurrier, South Carolina, no. Hugh Freeze, no. Rod Carey, no. Tubbs, no. Gary Anderson, no. Dana. Charlie, do you realize only two of those coaches on that entire list are still at their place from just 3 years ago?
And neither the host nor either of the producers are there either.
So that's there's right. Three, we went with them.
Three more names out the door.
That's right. Boy, there was some bad karma on that gig.
That year had some cleaning. It was a rebirth of everything after that season. Everybody started fresh.
Talking about draining the swamp, we all got drained, man. We all went down.
Sent packing. Yeah, a lot of different reasons for a lot of people leaving where they were, but we all ended up together.
Damn.
Looking for a new place to work.
Oh. I just noticed that. I wanted to just go through and see who's still there. Coach Fitz and literally Dana. That's it on that entire list at the same spot. Wow.
Coach Fitz was just here in the 615 playing in a bowl game.
Correct. And Dana. And those are two coaches we know well. Good dudes. Good dude. I wish I could have gotten over. I didn't. It's too lazy, but I wish I could have gotten over to see Coach Fitz.
I didn't get to say hi to him or anything, but I did get over there and watch a little football. Why not? It's down the block.
Yep. No, you're talking about one of the really good dudes, and he's a good coach, Coach Pat Fitzgerald, and knew him so well through the years, and Always a great guy. Always very reasonable. We would have him on. He would always do the show. And Dana, heck, I did my show from the Milan Puskar Center there on campus in West Virginia. Me and Randy Cross did a show there when he was just getting there, literally. I mean, I think it was heading into his first year. He inherited Geno Smith in that group. And I remember sitting there with Geno in the press box doing the show up there in the, again, the Milam Puskar Center is what they call that. At Notre Dame, it's the Guglielmino Center. At Georgia, it's the Butts Mir building. They all have their own historic names to it. But good stuff there. Good stuff. I knew that the Cosby Cattlemen would come out. And tonight it's whiskey on whiskey, Tennessee and Kentucky. I haven't looked at a spread. You folks who will be gambling tonight, what's the spread on the Tennessee-Kentucky game at Kentucky at Rupp Arena? I'm thinking Kentucky is either a really slight, like 2-3 point favorite, or it's pick 'em of some sort. Is Tennessee maybe Tennessee's played better than Kentucky? Let's call it like it is. They have this year. Beat 'em originally when they played it. The Tommy Bowl, Thompson Bowling. But if anybody's seen that spread, tell me what it is. Is Tennessee, first of all, is there any way Tennessee's a favorite? And if so, meaning at Rupp Arena, then the question would come up next, has Tennessee ever been a favorite playing at Rupp Arena? Ever. E-word. What would be the history on that? I'll tell you what, if we don't find out this week until Friday, I'll ask Brad about it on Friday when we join him and we're at the Southern Steak and Oyster. And I haven't seen the spread, so I'm just guessing right here. I'm literally just guessing. But have they ever been a favorite there in the history of going to Rupp Arena? Rupp Arena's first year was about, what, 76, 70. Seventh or something, 76, 77, somewhere in there, Rupp Arena. Interesting, interesting. Anyways, Bama Dave says Tennessee by a nose. Yup, it's a pick 'em. But Tip says Kentucky minus two. So I guess it depends on who you're looking at there. Kentucky minus two. Betting on that game, Tennessee, Kentucky tonight, and by all means, do whatever you're going to do. But I've got no feel. How could you trust Kentucky? Kentucky was down double digits to both West Virginia and Vanderbilt, somehow came back and won. Now, the West Virginia game, they actually came back and won somewhat handily. Kentucky-Vanderbilt game went to overtime, and Kentucky got a good call there on an and one. But sometimes you get those calls. And they pulled it out in overtime. Then they go to Missouri, and they lose. So I don't know if looking at Kentucky – maybe some of you have got a feel for it, but I've got no feel for them at all tonight. I wouldn't bet on it either way. They may play their best game and win by 7-8 points. They may lose by 10 at home. Kentucky's coming in there with a little bit of a Barney Fife syndrome. They're a little shaky confidence-wise. Tennessee's quite confident. So close to a pick 'em, if not minus two, depending on what Guido says. Depends on what Guido will give you. There. I know we need one more break, so let's take it on this Tuesday edition. Tomorrow we'll have Newberg. Tomorrow we'll have Kevin Hagan, and I'll fill it up with some other stuff as well. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. The police have moved this wreck here on 65 southbound at Metro Center. Also clearing a wreck at Buena Vista Pike at Clarksville Pike in Bordeaux. Still some traffic here trying to get in late here on 40 westbound at Spence Lane coming in from Hermitage and Donaldson. ICU Security, they specialize in surveillance camera installation and service. Check it out. ICUSecurityInc.com. They've got a neat website. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000,
$1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-709-2413 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-709-2413. Again, that's 800-709-2413.
For more than 30 years, Hubcap Heaven and Wheels has been committed to serving the needs of their customers by providing quality used wheels, wheel covers, and center caps for cars and trucks at a fraction of the cost of new parts. They also straighten and refinish aluminum alloy wheels. Hubcap Heaven and Wheels serves automotive dealers, tire stores, body shops, rental car companies, fleet vehicles, and the retail pub. Stop by Hubcap Heaven and Wheels at 396 Murfreesboro Road and say hello to owners Carol and Jim Jones. Just give them a call at 615-254-6636. Or you can visit them online at yourwheelstore.com.
Hey, this is Greg Pogue inviting you to join me Sunday mornings at 9 right here on 560 AM on 95.9 FM for the Tennessee State University Basketball Coaches Show, presented by Franklin American Mortgage, featuring Tigers coach Dana Ford and Lady Tigers coach Jessica Kern. Keep up with the Tigers and Lady Tigers throughout the season on the TSU Basketball Coaches Show, also brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery, Pepsi, the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Nissan, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, and McDonald's. That's the TSU Basketball Coaches Show, presented by Franklin American Mortgage, every Sunday morning at 9.
Nashville weather. Here is a look at your Skywatch weather forecast for today. Mostly cloudy, high in the upper 40s. Tonight, showers expected, low in the lower 40s. Tomorrow, starting off with some showers, high tomorrow in the mid 40s. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy and cold, low in the mid 20s. And it looks like sunny skies to return back in the forecast on Thursday and Friday, with showers returning on Saturday and Saturday night. I'm Commander Chuck, your Skywatch weather.
Bill King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
Jared, I've got an idea for the rest of the show. With about a minute left, can you warn me and just play Fred Rouse in a loop? That'll be the loop we promised. Can you do that? At about the 57 mark? Nothing but Fred Rouse the rest of the way. Like at 57-ish, somewhere here. Can you accomplish that, Charlie? Do you have your finger on the enter button? I think you can probably do it. We'll see. We'll see. If not, we'll just play it on a loop some tomorrow. Josh Newberg and also Kevin Hagan, and we'll get some other guests on tomorrow on the second signing period. Feels weird. It's even hard for me to wordsmith. Very few things are difficult for me when it comes to wordsmithing. That one is difficult. Is it the second signing period? Is it the February? Because it's not the February signing period. It's not over in February. You've got forever to sign. What do you call it? Everybody calls it signing day, but that's misleading. It's not one day. It can be literally any day after that, at least formally until April 1, but that's really not a hard deadline. It's a national letter of intent deadline, but it's not a hardened deadline per se. So signing day, the inference would be correct. It's the day that most everybody will sign. But see, that's not even true anymore, because most everybody, what, 50% or more signed this year in December. See, that's confusing. Me not digging change in this one. I'm not. I'm not at all. Charlie, did you hear my request there about Fred Rouse?
Was the case, but I slept on it, and about 2 I made a call and said, what Fred want to do, it's not about everybody else, and everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and Fred seen Florida State, and that's what I went with.
Fred,
I slept on it, and about 2 I made a call and said, what Fred want to do, it's not about everybody else, and everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and Fred seen Florida State, and that's what I went with.
Fred, yesterday that maybe you were going to take a visit to Texas this weekend.
That was the case, but you know, I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and I said, you know, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else, and you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and you know, Fred seen Florida State, and that's what you know, that's what I went with. Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody. You know, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody. Slept on it, and about two, I made a call and said, you know, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else. And, you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and, you know, Fred seen Florida State, and that was the case. But, you know, I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and said, you know, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else. And, you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and, you know, Fred seen Florida State. Was the case, but you know, I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and I said, you know, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else, and you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and you know, Fred seen Florida State, and that's what. But you know, I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and I said, you know, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else, and you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and you know, Fred seen Florida State. I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and I said, you know, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else, and you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and you know, Fred seen Florida State. But you know, I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and I said, you know, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else, and you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and you know, Fred seen Florida State. And but you know, I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and I said, you know, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not, you know, what Fred want to do? You know. Slept on it, and about two, I made a call and I said, you know, what Fred want to do, you know.
Sports Radio.
WNDZ. Frank Spurl. 95.9, 560.